Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I want to talk about another famous but still sort of unknown species, the Mako shark, especially the short fin Mako Xerus oxyrhynchus. Weird name, huh? Oxyrhynchus refers to the snout, in this case a pointy snout, and Xerus refers to its tail, where the upper and lower lobe have about the same size, similar to what you see in a white shark. I love these sleek predators that are considered to be one of the fastest, if not the fastest predator in the ocean, with speeds of up to about 100 kilometers per hour or about 60 miles per hour. That is incredible. We actually have a name for them when we're out there and dive with these magnificent sharks. We call them silver bullets. Well, you can guess why, right? If you get the chance to see one of it, it blows your mind how quickly they can appear out of nowhere. You happen to look in one direction, nothing there, and a few seconds later, it stands right in front of you and came in from the very direction you just moved your eyes away. What I probably like the most in there is their incredible body form. It looks like that evolution first puts a load of muscles on the skeleton and then pulled a rather tight skin over it. It seriously looks that if the skin is really too tight, when they move, you see every muscle. This is just incredible. Okay, let's get started. I'm always intrigued how animals get their names. Most of the time, it hints towards their anatomy, but not so their common names. I'm sure you heard of the poor beagle, a close relative to the Mako. That's a weird name, poor beagle. And I don't want to spoil the moment and give that one away, so let's just look at the name Mako. The name Mako has its origin, supposedly, in the Maori language and means shark. I've also read that it could mean tooth. So if some of you have a more definite answer, I'd like to hear it. Drop me a line at Let's Talk Shark. Although this shark is quite regularly caught in longline fisheries, and so was the study object of quite a few projects, nearly nothing is known how it behaves around humans. Fact is that they're not quote-unquote dangerous, despite what you may have read. It's just their appearance, you know, their large mouth, the always visible teeth, and their very dark eyes that creates a rather intimidating image. Although the shark could potentially harm a person, of course, large specimens are beyond 3.5 meters, that is huge. They still remain very shy among humans, at least to begin with, until they start to relax. Sharks always have to relax around humans if they want to approach, and very often you just see them at the periphery. You look at them, they quickly check you out, and they move on, and then sometimes people say, well, yeah, he was not interested in us. No, it's not that. When a shark takes off, it's more like it doesn't dare to come closer. Of course, should you introduce food, then you have a very different scenario. Most sharks, and especially with Mako, and it's not rare that you then have the shark right in your face. Of course, it is these pictures and video clips that we see on the net, and not the shy animal that first stays at the periphery until it dares to come closer. When it comes to food, however, again, their shyness is quickly replaced. But not just that, there is something else remarkable. Actually, two things, and really worth mentioning. How much food they need on a daily basis and the way of hunting. These sharks are super fast, and so they need quite some energy. It has been calculated that they consume about 3% of their body weight on a daily basis. Well, that doesn't really tell you much if you don't really know how heavy these guys are. Anyway, it's huge, considering that these sharks can grow up to max about 4 meters. That is big. With a weight of about 600 to 700 kilograms, maybe 1,200, 1,300 pounds. Supposedly, there was even once a specimen that reached 1,000 kilograms, so more than 2,000 pounds. Anyway, that means that a Mako needs up to about 20 kilogram, 40 pounds of food on a daily basis. And if that 1,000 kilogram shark really existed, up to 30 kilograms of food, or about 60 pounds. Can you imagine? So whenever people say, well, you know, the shark was fed conditioning, you know, so he didn't have to hunt anymore. Can you imagine how much food you really have to bring if you have more than one mako shark around you? Yeah, so it doesn't work. Although other species consume the same percentage, less mobile species can live with less than about 1%. Since most sharks are rather slow swimming compared to this torpedo, the digestion is also rather slow. Not so with the mako. The mako digestion is rather quick and it takes mostly less than 2 days for digesting food. Since makos need considerably large amount of food, one would assume or could assume that they prefer slow-moving prey, right? Would make it easier for them to catch them. But the opposite is true. Granted, they go after sharks, bony fish, cephalopods, but makos are famous for going after the fastest swimming fish, the sailfish. How they're able to catch those is through sheer speed, where they don't aim indiscriminately at their body, but focus on the peduncle, the body part immediately in front of the tail. If they can bite through the peduncle or just bite the tail off, then the hunt is over since the sailfish has no propeller anymore. But swordfish, if you've ever seen one, well, you know, are not easy prey. In fact, makos have been speared by the sailfish's bill, the spear-like snout extension. But I guess that is rather the exception than the rule, otherwise makos would make a big circle around them. And then there is something else remarkable. Their body warmth. Most sharks have the same temperature as the surrounding water. Not so makos or, for example, white sharks. They possess a very advanced blood vessel system that largely prevents the created body heat to escape into the surrounding water, and the heat then stays in the body. This heat comes from muscle contraction as well as from digestion. You may have heard the name of this system before. It's called WonderNet or Rete Mirabile. And so these sharks have a 4 to 7 degrees Celsius higher body heat. And that means, of course, that the shark has a much higher energy output, which translates into higher speed and agility. White sharks have the same system, and there you don't find the one on it just in the flanks, but also around the brains and eyes. Speaking of brains, makos have one of the highest brain weight to body weight ratio of all sharks. And sharks, their ratio ranges within mammals. So that's actually very, very high. Anyway, since makos possess a sophisticated heating system, you would assume that they prefer cold waters, right? Well, that is not the case. They live in temperate and tropical waters where the water is warm. So that means, or could mean, that they can dive very deep where the water is cold, or they can even migrate into colder water on a regular basis, and we just don't really know it. No matter what you pick up from these incredible hunters, everything is mind-blowing. Makos are truly one perfect evolution. So now how about interacting with them in the water? You may have seen that folks decided to have cages in the water with these buggers around. Need it? Hell no. Makos, like all the other sharks, all the other large sharks, have one thing in common. They're totally misunderstood. You can be among them, the same way as with all the other shark species. I spent some great times with them over the Azores in the middle of the Atlantic. My only regret was always the same, that they did not stick around for longer periods of time. So each time I saw one, I tried to cramp in as many things possible in order to better complete my picture of them. Thank you, video. I belong to that generation of divers who remember the first video on the water cameras, and let me tell you, what a relief that was to finally be able to capture these situations. So you young divers, you don't really have a clue how comfortable you have it with all these GoPros and all these mini camera systems. No, we didn't have that, so it was a little, I would say, cumbersome. But even so, data and all, I always comes down during my encounters to one thing. How do or did I feel when the shark starts to focus on me? After so many years of interacting with sharks, I always believe in the first impression I have. Of course, you can always follow my principle of first assessment and you likely get to the same conclusion. But the more you interact with them, the more you start to listen to your gut feeling. Yes, gut feeling. The impression you have, you know, I feel this, I feel that, go with it. One of the very important things I tell everybody who will encounter Mako for the first time is not to feel intimidated by their eyes and teeth. The Mako does not know how he comes across, so you should not use these two features to draw conclusions about the mental state of this animal. Just accept that some of their features are not so cuddly, but they do not have value in the overall being of the animal. A Mako does not know that his teeth look intimidating or his eyes, so he does not know that you would seem as dangerous or intimidating. I think you know what I mean. Of course, if you have the chance to get very close, and I mean so close that you see the pupils of the shark, then you realize what I just tried to explain. Eye contact. Very, very important. And I will talk about eye contact in a later show. Up close and personal, every shark, even whites, tigers and bulls, are reduced to just another being that tries to make sense about your presence. Okay, guys, that's it for today. I hope you learned a few things about Makos, and you're looking forward to see one. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, especially now today, of course, a Mako shark, have fun. Enjoy the moment and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.